Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Actually a pre-recorded show. Unfortunately, we're not able to go live due to schedule conflicts, but that doesn't make the show any less important because we actually have 2016's Mr. Nude North America on the line with us today. How are you doing, Bobby?
Hello. I'm waking up.
I know, me too. I'm like half awake myself. I was like wondering if I should just tell you that I was taking a nap. I'm like, oh, God. No sleep for the wicked, right?
Apparently not. Rest is something that unites people like us. But it happens.
Yeah, true entertainers, they don't like, I mean, we'll sleep when we're dead, so. But yeah, keep the hours, we have like vampire hours any freaking way, so I don't know what either one of us are doing up when the sun's shining.
No, I'm not a morning person anyway. I am not fond of the AM times.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm like wake up and it's like me without food, basically. It's not good. It's like I have to have food and sanity. And like the first hour, I'm like, people can talk to me and I don't really even know what they say. So I'm just like, huh?
Yeah. I can work days when I have to, but I'm normally not pleasant to be around till afternoon.
Right.
Morning.
Even when I am up, like, early in the morning, like, it takes me until about 3 o'clock before I'm actually alive anyway, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. My body just got worked with morning schedule.
So it's so weird. It's that conditioning for sure. So I know that you won. I'm trying to pull up your Facebook profile so that I can be guided here a little bit. But I know that you won Mr. Nude North America, Nude the Poppin', last year. And I've seen you there for several years. You know, how long did it take you in competing to win a main title like that?
Let's see. I've been competing there for 12 years now. I was going about 9 years prior to that just to hang out in the crowd. I've been second and third place in a bunch of stuff almost every year. Like, I usually win at least one of those type things every year. There's been a couple of years where I didn't win any, but I usually win a trophy or two of some sort every year. But it took me 12 years to win, well, like 11 years in, I guess, to win first place in Mr. New North America. And that's the one I really wanted, just because I like the way it sounds.
Right.
Well, Entertainer of the Year is cool, and like all, but Mr. New North America, to say, hey, I'm the hottest guy in the whole continent. So.
Naked, and guys aren't usually thought of as being hot when they're naked, you know? Even with his clothes on.
Yeah, most people look better with clothes on. Looking good naked takes a lot of work.
I know, right? I've even been told. I've had customers who had seen me like walking into the club in my blue jeans, go get changed into like stripper clothes, and they're like, "I won't give you money to go put those blue jeans back on." Not even in a mean way, but you know, they're accessories. You know, we don't really have to have them, but they do. I mean, if worn properly, they do accommodate our features for sure.
Yeah, generally.
And you do have a pretty amazing outfit, let me tell you.
Well, thank you. I tend to like dress in a way that I guess emphasizes the way. The shape, like, you know, a lot of guys buy clothes for comfort. I buy like jeans or pants specifically that make my ass look nice because I have a nice ass. In fact, most of my pants are girls' pants because girls' pants are designed to highlight the shape of their butts. So, I dress in a way
that's an indoor secret, guys. If you want to look sexy, you're stopping in the wrong rack. I was wondering where you got all the pants, because I see your pants. I've noticed your pants a couple times, and I'm like, damn, I got a lot of bling on there. So I was wondering where you were shopping, because I'm like, some other guys need to pick up on this, but you just gave a secret away. That's fucking awesome. It's actually
shopping
pretty epic.
At the girls' rack at Plato's Closet.
Like, you never know what you're going to find when you take your girlfriend shopping. Let me tell you guys, it ain't just for her. Do it for yourself, too. Oh, goodness. She's going to wonder why you're buying a pair of pants that are a little bit too big for her. But, hey, to her surprise, your ass is going to look hot.
It works.
That's an awesome inside secret for sure. That's one of the things I love about Bobby is he holds no punches. Like, he is, like, the most humble, honest, like, just – all around, good fucking guy, good character. What are some of the shows that you have, like as far as costumes that you wear?
Oh,
I know the
I
first one that I remember seeing you that it stood out was when you had your entire body painted red and you had fangs in your mouth and horns on your head, and you were definitely like playing the part of a devil.
Yeah, that's the one that stands out in everybody's mind, especially at Nudes of Poppin'. And I do stuff there, not so much to, I guess, to, like, win. When I do costumes there, I try to, like, do things that I know nobody else will do. And it's not really ego or, like arrogance talking, but I've said for years, I'm not always the guy that wins there, but I'm always the guy that everybody's talking about. Because I do stuff that nobody else there does. I do the pole tricks. I do the crazy costumes. Nobody paints their whole body because, generally speaking, people don't think that that's, like, hot. But it's cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's what people remember.
That's all I was thinking that day was, how is that paint staying on you? And holy cow, that has got to be hot, you know? Because, like, you have, like, all of your pores are covered that are, like, trying to, like, relieve the heat. I can't even fathom how warm it was that year for you.
Yeah, it was rough both times I've done that there. Because like you're saying, like, it's cake makeup from, like, theater company type stuff. So it goes on. You can put it on kind of thick so it will stay on all day. You put a spray over it to kind of help it stay there. And then you try not to rub up against anything too much.
Which is hard in the pop-in because everybody wants a hug and a selfie.
Yeah, by the end of the day, some parts of the makeup are rubbed off all over everybody. But when I do that makeup there, I try not to eat or drink anything most or all of the day because I don't want to go to the bathroom because I don't want, like, leaving red stuff all over the bathroom vector that everybody has to use. So the devil thing looks cool, but it's definitely one of the rougher days.
I can imagine. Like, it's been, like, so hot out there, and it was a pop, and they've had people, like, pass out and have to go to the hospital. I could not imagine not drinking water. Like, I literally have to have water in my hand the whole time, and that's how I feel. It's like I'm bloated, and I have to go to the bathroom the whole time. But
yeah.
I know that was as sick as my hair is. I would totally pass out if I did not stay hydrated. That's a true entertainer right there. He's willing to go to the extreme to be remembered by his fans and to put on a good show, and that's got to say something to you guys on the caliber of entertainer that we're talking to here. I mean, not only does he have a main title, but he's willing to go over and above what other people do. I mean, it's pretty much taboo out there, you would think, for the man to grab the stripper pole, and this dude does more pole tricks probably better than most of the girls that get out there and try. It's just phenomenal to see him on the pole, because you never see that, even with the Chippendales and all the touring stuff. It's just something you don't ever see. Speaking of touring, go ahead.
I was saying, particularly among guy dancers, and I've always thought this was the dumbest thing ever, they think doing pole tricks is gay. They don't really understand that the people in the crowd respect it, because nobody does that stuff as far as guys go, and girls love that shit. You know, they see
a guy
doing tricks, and girls tend to lose their mind over it. So, and actually, I got into the pole because I can't dance. I'm an old white guy. I can kind of move with the rhythm of the song or whatnot, but you're never going to see me as a backup dancer on a music video, because I can't dance. So I had to find some way to, like, be entertaining and fill time when I was on a stage. So I got to do a pole trick.
Oh my goodness. I have, like, a similar thing, you know? Like, if I'm not holding on to the pole, like, I feel like I'm naked. I can be naked and not feel naked, but if I'm not holding on to the pole, like, I literally feel like I'm naked, like a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get over that, because a lot of the feature stuff is, like, most of the girls don't touch the pole at all. So I really tried to do that this year, you know?
Oh my goodness.
It's crazy the things that, you know, you go through, that you're totally, when you're in an entertainment industry, totally you're always putting yourself out of your comfort zone. So growing is one of our main things. So, you know, like, most people fear change. Now, as an entertainer, we're like, we welcome it, because it means that we're growing as a person. And it's so awesome to be part of the industry and, you know, put as part of the family. And speaking of family, that's pretty much what Nude the Poppin' is about. You know, like, everybody there, it's just like a family reunion. We just get to hang out naked and throw a big party for everybody, you know, all of our friends for the weekend. And then, you know, we get to hang out with our family, quote-unquote, backstage after all our friends are gone. So it's totally a great time. If you guys haven't been, you definitely need to check it out. It's definitely a bucket list thing to experience. You're going to be mind blown everywhere you go all day, especially if you've never been in any sort of situation where there's a bunch of naked people walking around outside. It's just totally mind blowing and liberating, because, you know, like, we get most of our vitamins, as I keep saying, from the sun. And, you know, they say that you can get magnetic fields from the earth if you were to walk around outside barefoot. Like, if you don't feel good and you walk around outside and you're barefoot, that you'll start to feel better. Just imagine the magnitude that would be of truth if you were walking around outside naked. It really doesn't matter how much you drink all day, because honestly, like, you soak in so many vitamins and stuff from the sun and just being outside naked and from the positive energy that's around you. Like, I swear I drink more than I should, and I never really feel like crap until the whole weekend's over. And it's because I've been outside naked in the sun, and I've gotten all those vitamins. I know that's got to be the explanation for it. But what other events do you do? Like, I know that you do a lot of different events, you know, besides Nude the Pop, and what other events are you involved in?
Most of what I'm doing these days is just a burlesque type stuff. I do gripping shows kind of as they're offered if I have time, but I don't really look for that kind of work, or basically like any kind of work anymore at this point. I just do it when it pops up. I've done a lot of different clubs, some in Indiana, some in Michigan, a couple in Ohio. I did a show out in Illinois at a club years ago, in Iowa that I can't remember the name of because it was so long ago. And that's most of what I'm doing now. If like a club or like a company contacts me and asks me if I'm interested or be willing to come out and do some stuff, I will. I'm busy though. I have a regular career and a job. And when you work full time someplace, especially on like an afternoon evening type shift, because I don't really enjoy getting up in the morning like we talked about, it's like hard to find time doing this kind of stuff all the time. And like I said earlier, I'm getting older. I'm going to be 43 years old in December. I don't look that old, but I sometimes feel that old after doing a night of acts. So I perform a lot less than I used to because after going on stage 2 or 3 or 5 times, the next day my knees hurt, my elbows hurt, my back will be sore. If you've seen my shows, I don't hold anything back. I work the whole time, and it takes a toll on you after a while.
So it definitely does. It's insane. You know, people are like, "Oh, you took the easy way out." It's by far the most not easy job anybody could ever have in their life.
The only way it's an easy job is if you're lazy about it and don't really do anything. And you find that stuff in shows with girls and guys. People will go out on stage or out into the crowd, and you can tell they don't care to put on a show like at all. They're just there to take off their pants and take a couple bucks from you and move on. I've never had that. My goal has always been to be as entertaining as I can be. You know, it's like I don't want you to feel like I went up on stage and wasted your time. I want you to go on stage. I want to go on stage and have people go, "Damn, that was really cool." That I've never seen anything like that before, which is why I do all the crazy costumes and the props. I don't know if you were there a couple of years ago when I had the Iron Man armor. I spent $2,500 on custom-made Iron Man armor so I could do an Iron Man show. You know, it's like it's an expensive hobby, but it's a fun one. I've met some amazing people over the years doing this, and I have some great, great stories to tell. I have some really horrible stories to tell. Some really cool ones too. I started out working in the club in South Bend that had guys and girls, and they had guys on some nights of the week and girls on other nights of the week, and then they wanted to do a Halloween show one year, and I talked the guy that owned the club into letting me do a Michael Jackson Thriller act with two of the girls. They had never had guys and girls on the stage at the same time before because they never thought anybody would be into it. But I had a Michael Jackson jacket and like actual red parachute pants, and I made little zombie costumes for two of the girls, and we did Thriller, and people lost their fucking minds. And shortly after that, he went to like guys and girls at the same time. And when that happens, the cash coming into the club kind of decreased because it's hard to find crowds that want to see both. But we had a ton of fun working there. The downside is I was the only guy that had like costumes and props. I brought like a couple of carry-on bags of costumes and props and all kinds of stuff in them. So I dressed upstairs in the girls' locker room with them. And a lot of the guys thought it was kind of a dick move that they were all downstairs together and I got to share a dressing room with all the girls. But you've been in the girls' dressing room at a club. It's not sexy and it's not hot. There's nothing cool happening back there.
Oh, my God. No, it's not. I don't even like getting dressed in the same dressing room as the house girls. The stories you hear, the shit that they say, the nagging. Oh, I can't do it.
They
so, like,
off
if you guys
boots.
Perform at my top, don't put me in the same room. Like, I'm not even kidding. Because, no. I can't.
You see
you
some
know?
Shit back there that you can't unsee and you will never forget. You don't really talk about
God.
It because then it ruins the fantasy for everybody.
Right. Yeah. I'm not. I don't want to talk about it either. At all.
But everybody has to start somewhere.
We're lying. We're not telling you the truth at all. It's super fucking hot in the dressing room. You guys should all buy the subscription.
There's nothing but clouds of perfume, a unicorn in the background, and nonstop a lesbian orgies back there. You don't know what you're missing.
Always. There's so many dildos. Oh, my God, you can't even walk.
Scissoring as hard as
I can see.
I went to
put on my lipstick one time, and it was vibrating.
That's exactly what happened, folks.
Careful where you sit. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I got into it in the most weird, I guess, backwards way ever. Like I was saying, I've been going to Nudes of Poppin' for about 9 years just hanging out. And this one year, it was like 105 degrees outside with the humidity and the heat factor. It's probably 115. Everyone was super hot. We were dying. And they had that outside shower there. And I was walking around with a friend of mine, and we're like, fuck it, let's just get in the shower. We'll cool down real quick. It'll be okay. But, you know, you got, like, your wallet in your pocket, your car keys, your phone, your camera, all that stuff. So we took off our shorts and got naked. We got in the outdoor shower, and we noticed immediately you're cooler. Because, guys, take this. If you take nothing away from this conversation, take this with you. When your balls are cool, your whole body is cool down. So we just walked around for the rest of the day naked because everyone's naked there. Nobody cares. It wasn't a big deal. And when I went back the next year, one of the guys in the show was like, hey, man. And I'm like, huh? And I look over and he's talking to me. And I'm like, what? He's like, hey, man, I saw you on the internet. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm just a guy. He's like, I bought a DVD of this show last year online and you were in it. I'm like, I wasn't doing anything. I was just here hanging out. He's like, man, you should enter this thing. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, just go up front and sign up. You can get in back here. You can, like, hang out. You take a bunch of cool pictures. It's fun. I'm like, I'm not a stripper. He's like, most of these guys aren't. He's like, man, I do it. So I did. I went in and I signed up. I just walked around for the day. I did the pageant. And I was like, this is kind of fun and this is awesome. I'm like, I think I want to be doing this. And I went back to my hometown. I found a club that had guy dancers, and I got involved that way. I practiced for a whole year, and I came back, and the next year, it was the first year I actually competed for real, and I won second place doing it. Never looked back.
Yeah, I got in a kind of a weird way, too. I was just going to go there to check it out and see Bob Ferguson from Cherry Magazine and come to my club that I was at, and he took a bunch of pictures, and I was like, wow, this is like, I have super, you would think that, you know, after all the pictures my grandmother took of us growing up, because she just was nonstop with the camera, like, I'm not even kidding, you know, the whole family would be like, okay, we've taken 30 pictures, we're done, you know. And so you would think that I wouldn't have any camera anxiety, but, you know, if you think about that, like, those pictures are going to be there forever. So I was, like, super, super anxious, and Bob's like, I think you'd be really good at this event. You should go check it out. And so I was like, fine, I'll go check it out. And so I went just to go out there, and they were like, well, all you have to do is just walk down this catwalk, and you can get in for free. So I'm like, well, I can do that, I guess. Well, I just went to Vegas for 4 days. I was hanging out with Devin Michaels and some club owners out in Vegas, and I was still hungover when I decided to get in the band with one of my, like,
I guess we both live in the same town and have the same customers, but absolutely cannot stand each other. And we didn't know this yet. But she was going out there, and I didn't want to go alone because of my anxiety. And so all my customers were like, go, just ride with this chick. She's going out there, and she has a couple girls going with her. And so I'm like, well, if it's not just me and her and there's a couple other girls, then, like, I think I can do that. So me and my friend ended up going with her out there, and, like, the first thing I saw was, like, something I wasn't expecting. So I started drinking at 7 in the morning. You know, I wasn't planning to take this thing seriously anyway. I'm just out there to hang out and party and be naked for the weekend. And so when the girl's signing up for stuff, I'm just circling all the crap. She's circling on all these forms that we're filling out. And then they're all like, well, you got to do this. And, and I'm like, what did I get myself into? And, like, literally the first year that I went out there, I was so nervous. Like, I ended up with a garbage can, a kiddie pool, a blue and pink thing of paint. And then as I'm walking down to the stage, I see a guy with a cowboy hat standing, and he's one of the security guys, and he still wears the damn cowboy hat. And he still remembers my first year there. And I was like, I need to borrow that. I promise I won't get anything on it, but I really need to borrow that so that I don't feel naked. And he let me. Reluctantly, he let me. And I ended up, I guess I did end up getting a little bit of paint on it, but it wasn't, like, super horrible. But It was crazy, but it was fun, and it was like a high you will never experience if you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It's like, holy cow, you know, I didn't have to pay for that. It's not going to hurt my body, and it felt crazily good and weird, and I want to feel that feeling again. And, you know, you can get on stage as much as you want, and they always tell you if you feel uncomfortable to imagine the audience naked. But never in my life have I ever got to experience actually seeing the audience naked. So, like, it's definitely, you know, I mean, definitely the way to go. If you want to throw yourself to the wolves, I would just go out there. It's like a big old party. Make that your first dance, like you said, a lot of people do. I know Ruby Ryder was never a stripper before she became, and she's a huge name now, you know. So
yeah,
if you want to go at it and not have all the BS along the way, Nude the Poppin' is the place to start. I'm not even kidding. You'll have Ultimate Magazine exposure. You got Cherry, Hustler, Tattoo Taboo, Penthouse, Excitement. I know there's more. I did a TV interview for Spick and Spanish TV, Butt Naked, this year.
Yeah, it was like, I think 2 or 3 years ago, I did a radio interview there with a Canadian a group. There's people over there from all over the place. It's insane. And I guess the online exposure that comes with that event is just phenomenal. It's huge. It's definitely
insane, because I honestly have still found pictures from the first year that I have, like, I'm seeing for the first time. It's
oh, yeah,
crazy.
I find stuff online all the time. I tell everybody, I don't have any kids, but I'm naked internet immortal.
Right? Yeah, there ain't no taking it off. I'm telling you, you got to be ready for it. If you're going to go in, you got to know that you're going in, because I was not told about any of that. Really, when I went in, and so then after that, I was just kind of like, fuck it, I'm going to do the damn thing, you know, because I'm already out there, and I took a friend with me who had no intentions of ever doing anything like that, and she still gets crap over the fact that, you know, her pictures are everywhere, so.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the crowd, they don't really bother you, but if you're not, if you're a participant, you are definitely going to get publicized.
It's calmed down in the crowd the last few years. Years ago when I was going, like, especially towards the end of the day when everybody is like a drunk, and it's definitely not the majority of the guys, it's just a few here and there, you'll get some drunk guys in the crowd badgering everybody in the crowd for naked pictures of them. which is weird, which has always been weird to me, because you got all these like naked hot chicks everywhere, and you're bothering some soccer mom or grandma in the crowd about taking off her shirt so you can take a picture. But I haven't seen much of that the last couple of years. It's definitely toned down a little bit. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
well, they all want that, you know. They all want that. I mean, there's, like, a definite difference between seeing someone who does it for a profession and seeing someone who does it that's not used to doing it, you know. It's like
mm-hmm.
it's like that, I mean, that thing, it's the same release of energy that causes, you know, predators to prey on women, and it's that fear and the insecurity, and like it's just like I don't even know, just the energy that it puts out, like the guys feed off of it, like rabid animals. I'm not even kidding. Like you know, I saw it and witnessed it and learned how to understand it through being a strip club manager, because you have
mm-hmm.
these little girls who are at their wit's end and they want to make money and they're scared to death, but they're doing it with a smile on their face. And I'm telling you that being in that position made me understand why men prowl on them like that, you know, because it's fucked up sexy that they're terrified but still doing it willingly.
Yeah. And that's
why the
mindset
dancers always make more than the veterans. The fear, you know, dogs sense fear. Dogs will attack if you have fear. It's the animalistic value of it.
I can understand that. Nothing I could ever get into, but I'm a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, I couldn't really get into it either. I'm not going to feed off of it, but I did see this one little girl, and I was just like, it just hit me like a light bulb turned on. I was like, dude, I understand now. Like, I mean, I'm not, well, I'm totally not for it. I think they should be taken to a hog farm instead of the next meal. But I understand, you know, where the animal is. I mean, we're all animals. We are animals. And like a dog will bite if he senses fear. Like the man, like, it's a turn on for, I mean, that's, we watch Fear Factor. You know, we do all these thriller things for that same exact result.
That makes sense. But it's still a blast. It's still the most fun day of the whole year, or weekend now, I guess. Most of us
it
that
is.
Are there.
I guess it used to only be one day, huh?
Yeah. But most of us that go and compete, like you were saying, we're tight. We're family. Most of us are really nice people. We get along with everybody. The crowd is easy to get along with. We're not mean to each other. Very helpful. You get one or two every year that are kind of dickbags, but they're usually a new, and they don't ever come back.
Right. And even if they are, they'll still be helpful because, I mean, teamwork makes the dream work, and we're all there for the same common goal. And, you know, that's one thing that I love about, you know, being in the industry where I am and not just as a regular house dancer, is because, you know, like, we'll be fighting each other for major titles and still be willing
mm-hmm.
to help the next person set up their show on stage and literally stand there in awe and cheer them on as they are kicking our ass and winning, you know? Like
mm-hmm.
this year when I went out and did the American Glow show, and everybody's like, oh, you got this, you got this, you got this. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, they're like, yeah, you do, yeah, you do. I'm like, you got no idea. Wait until Princess Zuma walks out on the stage. You're going to be blown the fuck away. Like, I already know this girl is going to bring it, you know? She won last year. I already knew. Obviously, like, I put effort into it. But, you know, real recognize is real, and we're family, like I said, you know, the only thing we're going to do is cheer them on, and then
yeah.
they're, in return, going to inspire us more by the creativity that they bring out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all want to win, but we're all happy when when the others win, too. Because, like you said, we care about each other.
And it's just an inspiration for us to fight harder and come up with more creative things. You know, when we it's just an awesome thing to experience and be a part of. That's for sure.
Oh,
I know that you're doing
burlesque.
Where's that? That's like around Chicago, right? Is there like a certain theater that
you can
find you at?
I'm doing shows in Kenosha, Wisconsin, 2 or 3 times a year at the Rhodes Center for Performing Arts with K-Town Burlesque. I started doing that last year. And for about a year and a half or 2 years now, I've been doing Viva La Pole show in Chicago. A lot of those shows are like me and somewhere between 20 and 29 girls. There's one other guy that does it, that does about every other show with us. But that's mostly just a pole act. The last couple of shows we've done have been with live bands, which is cool. Being able to perform with a live band playing behind you on stage is definitely a unique experience. It's not something that's common in the industry. So being able to be part of that is really cool. I've done, I performed twice now with a Nine Inch Nails cover band from Chicago called Now I'm Nothing. And those guys are phenomenal, really talented band. They definitely got their stuff together. Professional, nice, and just like nice people. I love being able to work with them. So that's interesting and unique because it's not something that people get exposed to, you know?
Right. It is. And, like, it's crazy how, you know, everybody's like, well, our industry has taken an impact. And they do hire feature entertainers. But I think that the entertainment industry as a whole could definitely collaborate more to make the industry more entertaining. I mean, you know, most music videos and stuff have backup dancers, so why wouldn't you do that? I mean, some artists do that on their live shows, but why wouldn't you bring that? Why wouldn't small town people bring that into the mix? You know, and I have had people who do. Like, I have, you know, had the opportunity to do that. Like, I actually backup danced for Two Live Crew when they were here in Peoria, which is crazy because I used to listen to them as a 90s band when I was growing up.
That's
and I was
awesome.
Like, oh, I didn't know that. You guys still
that's
rap.
Awesome. I'm having junior high flashbacks right now.
it was super awesome until one of the guys, I laid down on the speaker and put my legs up to do that booty shake thing, and he literally ripped leaned down and ripped my panties off and got in trouble for that. But it was still fun nonetheless, and I'm not objective to that kind of exposure. I hear it all the time, but there's a time and place for that, and I don't know. I guess it was kind of iconic for him to do that, knowing that I was from that era and used to listen to him. But I had told him ahead of time not to, but whatever, it happens. Artists don't listen all the time. Rules are made.
Thank you, sir. With entertainment being what it is online these days, the crowds at shows and that kind of stuff are getting smaller and smaller. I'm sure it's impacting girls as well, but for guys particularly, the cash that we're making at shows is much, much less than I was making, say, 8 or 10 years ago. 8 or 10 years ago, maybe even as soon as like 5 years ago, it was not uncommon for me to make, say, between $500 and $1,500 in a night. Those days are long gone, unless people are working like in Vegas, I would say. Maybe at some of the traveling shows, but I don't know. I kind of shy away from that kind of stuff because I just don't want to be on the road all the time.
Right.
The people aren't coming out like they used to because you can just stay at home and watch whatever you want online. So being able to combine that stuff, like you're saying, with the bands and the dancers and that kind of stuff, you have to give something new. You have to give the people a reason to want to leave their house.
Right. That's definitely true. And I think, I mean, like, I was in the industry since, 99, I want to say.
late 99, 2000 definitely. And I went through the whole experience of the change, and I can tell you exactly when it happened, and that's when our World Trade Centers got attacked. People just didn't know what was going to happen, what was going to go on. And the girls went from having, you know, a disposable amount of money to no one even coming into the club. So they started doing things that they didn't normally do for the money, and then it kind of just downward spiraled from there. And now people are just, you know, worried about the stigma from being seen in a club. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is if someone sees you in a club, they're in the club too. So y'all are equals out. Like, I mean, it's not even going to matter. But it's sad that it's like that. Like, literally, I grew up in this town called Burlington, Iowa. And when I went to school there, like, girls were wearing insanely slutty clothes. Well, I just went there on Saturday, and I was wearing a pair of $5 Walmart shorts, and because it wasn't considered, I mean, if it was summertime, I'm pretty sure that they would not have said anything to me because the rest of the bar would have been dressed the same way, but I just got back from Vegas, and it was cold when I got back, and it started to warm up on Saturday, and I'm like, fuck this, I'm wearing shorts because this is one of the last times I'm going to get to. And I get super depressed during the winter. I can't be in the winter. So I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, I'm only going to be in these shorts for like 3 hours before I go to work and take them off anyway. So I put on these shorts, and I literally got asked to leave a bar because I have my shorts on. But I bought them from Walmart for $5. Not Victoria's Secret, not the freaking mall, at Walmart at Belton. Like, are you kidding? She came up to me and told me I had to go put on jeans or leave. I was like, how is this still happening? You know, I knew half of the people in there. I mean, it says a lot that their bar had 10 people in it, and I knew 4 of them. But I'm like, why would you just? It's all hate and judgment, and it doesn't even make any sense. You know, we were born without clothes. We were intended to not have clothes. People literally have like constriction allergies, like where they're like, you know, they feel claustrophobic with the clothes on. You know, like, it's a marketing scam for most part, you know, the government. I mean, how do you think they make even hundreds of thousands of dollars they make off of making us wear clothes and cover our bodies, which we should not be ashamed of, and how many thousands of dollars they make in psychological stuff because they've created that shame with our bodies. And then, you know, they sit there and publicize all the sexual stuff on TV. There's not a commercial pretty much that you can watch on TV that doesn't have some sort of sexual innuendo in it. But, you know, yet we're judging everyone.
It's religion. You can like sex, but you can't admit that you like sex. You have to hide it because, you know, sex is a sin, blah, blah, blah.
And it's so true. And like some of the kinkiest, freakiest people that I know, you know, because, like, when I did the mechanical bull, it was so liberating to me because, you know, like, those people who would call me a whore or call me a slut or call me whatever names that they want to call me would be participating in my mechanical bull, which was a mechanical bull gone wild. And it started out as a bikini contest, but you know when a bunch of drunk people are on mechanical bull with a bikini, what happens? By the end of it, you know, there's teachers and nurses and school teachers and everything hanging out, you know, and it made us all one equal, you know. It made us all one equal, and they loved it, but I'll be damned if they went and told anybody about it, you know. And I was, you know, I was still the bad person, you know, because I was ahead of it all, you know. It's just, it's crazy the psychological that goes on with it. And just going back to that, it's definitely not the easiest job because you can be the best and still get hated on. But the fact of the matter is you can get hated on equally as bad for being a preacher's wife. So, I mean, preacher's wife, do what you love what you do, and fuck everybody else.
Yeah, you know, you get one chance at life. Be as happy as you can. Smile as often as you can, and fuck what anybody thinks about it, because it's not their life. They need to mind their own business, do their own thing, and let them be happy doing what they're doing, but we don't need to be judging each other. The world's fucked up enough without us hating each other for reasons like that.
It is. It's crazy. And people wonder, you know, why we're either they're going to blame the president because we're about to go into war. But the fact of the matter is every country around us looks at us like a fucking comedy show because we can't even get along with each other. They don't want that toxicity in their country, so they're going to try to do something about ours. We might not. I mean, you know, like we're all bitching about all these people being beheaded and stuff. What the hell do they think is happening in our country every day? We have murderers. We have rapists. We have all of that. But we think we're better than these other countries, and they're getting sick of it. It has nothing to do with who's in charge of the presidency. It has to do with the hate and the greed and the judgment in America, and it's so disgusting. It's so sickening, you know, when they're like, oh, well, you're blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm actually out here making a difference in people's lives, believe it or not.
Yeah. We're no better or worse than any other country, despite what we like to believe. We just usually do a better job of hiding all the evil shit that we do. I'm not trying to say that America's a bad place. I think if you have a money, this is the greatest country in the world. However, if you're broke, there's no worse place you can be because nothing here is free. We're not really looking out for each other at all as a whole. And it makes it hard because everybody has to put on a show, you know, has to pretend like everything is not terrible, you know. Well, I'm better than you because I have this, or I'm better than you because I can do that. Like, who cares who's better than who? Just be you.
I don't have a car, but I have an iPhone 7 and some brand new Nikes.
Got my Jordans.
It's not even funny. It's the freaking truth. It's, you know, these people are struggling. They got the food stamp card, but they're checking their balance on their iPhone 7, and they're wondering what's wrong with the world and why they can't get a job, and it boils down to, you know, like, we've been conditioned to act that way. You know, back in the day when we were a community and it was small government, we raised our kids as a community. You know, if someone's kid got caught out of hand, they went over and knocked on the neighbor's door and was like, you better get your kid under lock or I'm going to help you do it. You know, there's no more of that anymore because parents can't even parent their kids half of the time because of the way things are set up. And, you know, some of the things are set up to help children, but honestly, even that is questionable because, you know, the care that goes after they get taken from that is not always the best either. Just it's crazy how they have the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, the middle class are becoming non-existent because everybody's being conditioned to either hate the people who have it all, and you know, they're not motivated to work because they're getting all this shit handed to them, which eventually, once the middle class is gone, is going to get shut off, which I have a feeling is going to happen pretty damn soon. And then they're not going to know how to survive at all because they're going to have nothing. They're not going to know how to work because they've never been made to work because they've been living off the system. And then the rich are just going to, you know, use them to come next. I mean, they have concentration camps all over the country with boxes that could be used as coffins, and there's nothing in being used in these places right now, you know. But we're too worried about ourselves and our feelings and our opinions and what we think is right to worry about caring and reaching out to other people. And chances are, if they're having a bad day and you're judging them, it's only going to make them a worse person, not a better person. So don't be the one to cast the stone. Be the one to help that person in a positive way. Like, it just blows my mind how many people are like, you know, you can't fix the negative with the negative. You hating on that person and judging that person is not going to make that person a better person at all.
Nope.
That's crazy. So, Viva La Pole, is that what you said, out of Chicago?
Yep.
How often do they have those shows?
We're doing about, I think, two or three shows a year right now. Danielle moved out to Vegas. She's a producer. Viva La Muerte is her stage name. She's been in the industry for a long time too. She's doing really well for herself out in Vegas. She moved out there last year, so it's difficult for her to really coordinate and set stuff up properly up here in Chicago, which is where she's from and where all of our performers are from. There's, like I said, there's usually between, I would say, 12 and 30 of us performing at a show, depending on the size of the venue. And it's been growing and getting bigger with every show. So it's popular. The word is getting out that we're doing a good job. He tries to bring in some like a national acts with every show. We've had a Michelle Minx perform with us. Miss Kitty Cat, Jordan Kinsley was at a show that we did last year. She hasn't announced all of the headliners for the show that we're doing. I believe it's in March next year. But we're doing it again with some live bands. We're going to have the Nine Inch Nails cover band. I was talking about a Marilyn Manson cover band and a Deftones cover band. So it should be cool.
I'll make sure to share that link with me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'll post it on the Taser Time Radio page.
Sounds cool. Thank you.
We tried to get a couple of
Metallica cover bands. But apparently, just like the real band, their egos are too big for their pants, and they had no interest in working with us. But, you know, it's not for everybody. But it's pretty fun. And, again, met some amazing, just amazing people doing this.
Yeah, performers are, you know, there's painters, there's welders, there's, you know, construction workers, there's people who take things and make art, but it's a whole different level when they take their own body and turn it into art. It's like, it's just totally different. You know, I've always been one for theater, whether it be a play or... you know, no matter what it is, but when they put their passion of their soul into their art and not just a paintbrush to a board, and I'm not discrediting anybody who does art that, you know, does painting or poetry or, you know, turns chainsaw or saw blades into decor. Like, I'm not discrediting any of that, but when you take the human body and you have nothing but the raw being of yourself and turn that into art, it's definitely eccentric and something that you want to see, because you can physically see the feeling in it, and not saying that you can't in a painting or something like that, but you're actually there for the entire experience, and it's definitely, you know, something to walk away with.
It's a whole different, yeah, it's definitely a whole different a level. I sculpt and I paint, and I used to draw for years and years and years. But being on stage and being able to entertain is, like you said, it's a whole different type of artistic expression. It definitely takes a special kind of person to want to get out there and do some stuff like that, because it can be embarrassing. It can be terrifying. Like I said, I've been doing this for 13 years. I still get nervous every single time I go on stage. Every time before I go on stage, my stomach is all crazy. And then the music starts, I walk out, and I'm fine. But up until that moment, I'm terrified, which is how I know I still
get about doing it. I'm the same way. My palms get sweaty and everything.
Mhm. And that's how we know we still care. I've said, as soon as that stops, I'll retire. I'll be done. When I stop getting scared before I go on stage, I'll know that it doesn't matter anymore. And when that happens, I'll be done.
That's such a good way to look at it. I've never even thought of it like that. You know, it definitely makes sense that does show that we care. You know, if we're going through those physical conditions to get out on the stage. I know that, like, I always feel like I'm forgetting something, or something's going to mess up, or it's not going to be right, you know, like, I'm always, like, you're just like a basket case in your head, and then as soon as the, like you said, as soon as the music hits, you're like, fuck it, I gotta do it. Like, there's no redos. Like, it's here and now, and you just go out and you totally just, you're not even yourself anymore. You're an art. You're a piece of art, and you just until it's over, don't know anything else. Half the time, I can't even see the crowd, and you're just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many times that people will just come up and set dollars down on the stage and walk away, and there's so many times that people will come up to me after I get done getting dressed and come back out on the floor because they're like, I didn't want to interrupt you. Like, really? That was the whole point of me doing such a good job, is for you to come up and give me, you know, to congratulate me or to show me that I'm doing a good job. And people, what people don't realize is that, you know, you're not really interrupting us. You're inspiring us. The more money that gets thrown on the stage, the wilder we get. And the more entertaining we're going to be. Because if we don't see that interaction from the crowd, we feel insufficient. Even though our show may be on point, we thrive off of the reaction from the crowd, and it takes you to a different level. When you know you're doing good and people are enjoying it, you want to do better. And I don't know that it's called complacency, because you're not really complacent. You want to do a good job to start with, but it's the energy that you get. You only have so much energy within yourself. When you start getting energy from the crowd, that builds like a snowball effect into the performer. Like it's like, you know how in Texas they have these power poles that are like floating in the water, and they're like sucking the boats into them and like electrocuting the people. It's kind of like that. Like, you know, we suck that energy into ourselves and become more powerful.
Yeah, it's definitely a big part of my act. I try to pull the crowd in. I'll get them to move and to scream and to make noise. It's like you're saying, you know, we feed off of that. We get energy off of that. A good friend of mine, Nikki Jade, has been doing shows for like 22 or 23 years. And he and I have talked about this kind of stuff. You feed off the crowd, but we've been doing it for so long that we're professional about it. If there's one person in the crowd or 500, it's the same exact act. You know, it's like I'd put the same amount of effort into the show. It kind of wears on your mind a little bit when there's not as many people in the crowd or they're not as into it. But the ones that are there and are into it deserve the same amount of effort that you would give a huge crowd. So we do the same act every time because, you know, the people who are there deserve that. The people who want to see that deserve to see what they paid for, you know. I don't want people to leave any show I've ever done and say, yeah, he wasn't trying or he was on stage and didn't care. I don't mind if people don't think I did a good job, but I don't ever want them to leave trying with the impression in their mind that I didn't care about what I was doing.
Right. I definitely am on the same page with that as far as, like, we, you know, we do our same show, but you will notice, regardless, you know, you'll notice that you do get that energy and you do turn up a little bit more than you would if you didn't have that energy.
It pushes you to want
to
do extra.
They have to come and throw a bunch of money on the stage, but at least acknowledge that you're having fun, you know, smile, fire, whistle, who cares what you do. I can get up and read the same story every time, but I'm probably going to get more into my story that I've read the same story every time. I'm probably going to get more into the details of it and the excitement of it, you know, when I know people are listening to me versus when I'm just standing in a room, you know, doing it for myself.
And that's absolutely true.
So if they were to want to book you for a bachelor party or a birthday party or any sort of party or event or club or anything, how would they get a hold of you? I know that they can go to Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, Spear, S-P-E-A-R, on Facebook. Is there any other preferred way for them?
That's the easiest way. I've never set up a website or join the website. I've been asked about doing it over the years. I just never got around to it. Finding me on Facebook's the easiest way, and that's my actual name. I've never used a stage name, like ever. My real name has always been my stage name, because it's kind of a good name for a dancer. And the first time I went into a club, the first male dancer I saw was a guy who was about 6'4", about 220 pounds, and soft. He looked like he'd never even seen a picture of a muscle in a magazine, and he called himself Titan. I'm like, yeah, I can't be like this guy. And normally I wouldn't trash talk somebody, but he was a douchebag in real life, so I don't mind. He was kind of a horrible human being, but yeah, his name was Titan. And I'm like, I don't ever want to be at the grocery store and have somebody who saw me somewhere doing their show be like, hey, Titan. I'm like, yeah, no, nope, just call me Bobby. It's fine. So,
right. I used to just go by Taser, and then I realized that it was intimidating to people, you know, me being the built that I am and the height that I am, and then you put on them 7-inch heels, so I'm like 6'1" walking around, everybody already has to look up to me, and then they're like, Taser to this kid. So I started using my first name in front of it, and it's crazy how, like, the psychology of that one change has changed the way people look at me, you know? And the people who want to call me Taser still call me Taser, and some of them call me Cynthia, but Cynthia is definitely my real name. And I think one of the main reasons that I started going by that and actually noticed that is because, you know, the hatred that I got on Facebook back when they first started, and I'm talking like 5 years ago, they started, you know, they made me change it to my legal name. And I was one of the first ones that they had to do that with. But, you know, you run a strip club in a town that has 5 or 6 strip clubs in it, you're bound to have haters, you know, whether it be club owners or club managers or club waitresses or whatever, dancers, you know, disgruntled ex-employees, whatever it may be. But I ended up being, like, one of the first people who had to show my government ID. And, you know, I was like, I could have fought it and gotten my stage name kept on there just because of security purposes, but I'm like, you know, if they want to hate on me that much, they're going to know the real me. Let's make the real me famous, and that's when I went into Star Drive, and now here you go.
I found that using my real name makes me more approachable by people. I run into people all the time who have seen me doing like a show or a party or like online. I find pictures and videos of me online all the time. It's kind of interesting. But I find that because I use my real name, people somehow, I guess it makes me more real, like I'm a real person and not like some, like,
character.
So, like, I'll be at the gym sometime or at the store and somebody will see me like, hey, Bobby. And I'm like, hey, I don't know you, but how are you? And they're like, yeah, I saw you here or there, or I cut this clip, like, online. And it makes us approachable. And I've actually gotten work that way from people just walking up to me and talking to me someplace. And they're like, man, you're a nice guy. And then they'll ask me if I want to do, like, this party or, like, that show. And it pays off. You do get the creepers, though.
Right. It definitely gives you more credibility, you know, because you're not just living underneath some cover. I've definitely noticed that myself, because that's one of the number one things that guys always ask is, what's your real name? You know, they don't want a story. They don't want people lying to them.
Yeah, they
want
to know who you are.
It's ups and it's downs. It definitely has its ups and its downs. But, I mean, with technology nowadays, I mean, people are, if they really want to find out who you really are, it's not going to be that hard, first off,
right?
Because all they have to do is take your picture and post it on Facebook, and there's this thing called Facebook recognition, and boom, there you go, you're already, you know, found.
An 8-year-old can find out who you are. An 8-year-old can find out who we are and steal our identities with us.
Oh, yes, they definitely probably faster than a 30-year-old, honestly. Then our computers, there were two. We didn't even really have them. We had the old IBM Apple.
I remember. I was there when Pong was invented. Okay. I got some years on me. Take this, kids. Take nothing else away from this entire interview. Moisturize your skin. I'm an old man, but I look like I'm in my late 20s because I took care of my skin when I was younger. Moisturize. It pays off.
Oh, yes. Awesomeness. Taking care of, your skin is your biggest organ, you know. If you don't, take care of your skin, you're a fool. Drink enough water. There's lotions out there that are not good for you, but there's lotions out there that have natural vitamins. Water, dehydrate your skin, and with this only moisturizing after. I'm an after, but I can. You're not supposed to get too much sun, but I think instead of taking crazy pills, I just go to the tanning bed every once in a while. And, I have an aftertan lotion that I put on. I have a lot of vitamin A and D in it. And hemp just for that reason, because I know what the toll it does to your body. And
you cannot say enough good things about not looking your age.
I'm 35 and I still get carded for energy drinks every once in a while. I'm like, what the fuck are you asking for? Oh, really? Okay. Great. I have an 18-year-old daughter that's going to carry me for energy drinks. Thank you. I was only buying alcohol when I was 16 years old with my own ID, just because people don't ever look at that crap back then. I'm like, yeah, thanks, cool. Card me for an energy drink. Or the a over-the-counter ibuprofen or something. I've been carded for the stupidest stuff. I'm like, do you see the children standing next to me that are pretty much my height and look exactly like carbon copies? Okay, yeah, I'm not 18.
The only time I get irritated by people asking me for ID is when I'm at the store buying a NyQuil or DayQuil. I'm like, I'm sick. I'm not a tweaker. Just give me my medicine and let me go.
Oh, man, right? You're like, I'm not. I only bought one pack, not 40, lady. Chill. We're all going to get high today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
who
goodness.
Doesn't like a good NyQuil coma?
Right? Oh, my goodness. I had a friend of mine who one time, I came home from work at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he was staring at the TV with the fuzzy channel and he was, zoned out, man, completely zoned out. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, I'm watching the bunny rabbit. I'm like, dude, for real, though. I mean, I could see you saying that there was ants on the TV, but bunny rabbits, what did you take? He's like, oh, just a bunch of NyQuil and nutmeg. I'm like, oh, my God. He's like, it's basically, right up. I'm like, oh, my fucking God. I'm like, I'm going to say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't touch me. stay away from me with that crazy mind. Yeah. Hey, but that's legal. Them over-the-counter medications that you can talk yourself into some sort of crazy trance. They're perfectly
that
fine.
That makes so much more sense.
Doesn't it all? All right. Well, we have actually overdone our hour. Thank you so much for waking up early to get ready your day to get this pre-recorded. Definitely look forward to hanging out with you next year, because
absolutely.
Next year's a topic. And look him up. Even if you just look up his work or just, whatever, come to News the Poppin' and get a selfie or whatever you want to do. Definitely a cool character and great guy all around. Great performer. Something you definitely want to see. I'll be sharing that link in March for the Viva La Pool show, and we will probably be following up with Bobby at some point. So thank you for listening. Thank you for taking an hour out of your day, Bobby, or hour and however many minutes. We're both half awake.
Well, I'm awake now. You too.
Right, me too. I'm dreading, though, by 8 o'clock when I put my kids to bed, I'm going to be like a zombie. I have to be looking at the TV like that guy that took the knife that name, like a rabbit.
It's a bunny rabbit.
Taking the wrong bunny rabbit. All right, you have a good one. It's amazing.
Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.